Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Go to the next step to develop a rule of life. A rule of life. Basically, what we're talking about is have something in your life written down somewhere, maybe in the tablets of your heart. Yeah, that's great. But yet, also something that you can be correcting. Something in your life that says, this is my plan. This is what I know God wants to do with me, or this is what I think, and this is what I need to do. This is my life and the plan that I'm going to follow. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. And remember that we have gone through a bunch of pathways here that we've talked about earlier in this campaign. Just a little reminder, we talked about knowing yourself so that you may know God, going back in order to go forward, journey through the wall, enlarge your soul through grief and loss, discover the rhythms of the daily office and Sabbath, grow into an emotionally mature adult, and last but not least, take the next step to develop a rule of life. We all need to have something to follow. We all need to have purpose. Basically, what I'm talking about when I talk about a rule of life is being able to lay out your purpose and know what it is in life, knowing where you're going and knowing where God wants you to go, pretty much is what I'm talking about. And how are you going to get there? Basically, it's a plan to get there where God wants you to be. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. And then next week, we're going to sum it all up. We're going to do some practical applications, and then we're going to have a party Sunday night. All right. Now, of course, as we think of the church in the days of today, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. We're going to talk about the church when it first started, things that were happening there. But when we look at the church and what's happening today, we're like divided forces, unfortunately. People talk denominationally, and you belong to this denomination, I belong to the other one, or you're in the church over there, I'm in the church over here. Oh, we're the church across the best bank and the least bank. I don't know. It's just, you know, right? We're there, we're here, everywhere, and we talk and we don't talk or whatever. But we have some divides, and we understand that is not supposed to be. There's a great temptation also for us to be all of this great Christian that goes in the broad sense, goes, wow, he look at him spread out, but yet no depth. And that's what we're talking about. We want to go into the depth of our souls and think about being a Christian that is deep, not just, you know, all wide and no depth in our lives. And we know that God is love, and God loves us all, and we all want to love God, right? Check out what I said. We all know that God loves us, and I know that we all want to love God. You see how it made a difference? Because everybody can say, oh, I love God, but then we don't show it, man. Right? Show me, don't tell me. And God, did God come up with that? Show me, don't tell me. I'm pretty sure whoever came up with that down here, God already knew it up there. Amen? Show me, don't tell me. Just show me. Show me that you love me, right? So, a lot of people end up just not living a whole spiritual life. And then, of course, that mixes up with the emotional life and it gets all messed up. And we're all inclined in that direction. We are sinners by nature, but we have been given the nature of Christ Jesus so that can be opposed. Amen? So we have to think in terms that we're still on a journey, but yet we have been given the new strength, the new joy, a new spirit for us to fight through that. And we have to move through life and think about what is going on. Because lately, I don't know. You've seen that in the past few years how information has taken over, right? You know, one of the saddest things, and I encounter this myself, this is something I struggle with. Sometimes we want information. I love information. I love sitting in a classroom. I'm a great student in the classroom now. On homework, I don't know about that. But when I'm in a classroom, I'm paying attention. I'm taking notes. I'm really focused. I want information. I want all that information. The problem is, a lot of times, David Rodriguez does not do much with the information. Does that sound familiar to you? There's a lot of people out there like, they're not in this room except me, right? But, you know, the problem is that we want information. We want answers. Where are the dinosaurs? What happened to the dinosaurs? And what happened to the Ice Age? And then, is it true that we had cavemen and this and that? And we want all the information. We want all the information. Then what are you going to do with it? We ask all these questions. We want all the information. We want everything. And we're living in a Google society, right? Everything you just think of, well, I don't know. Well, Google it. Right? And then Wikipedia. My God. Be careful with that, right? But anyway, but you see, we're under this pressure from our culture. We're under this pressure from this world that you got to have the latest and greatest information. Have you noticed that when you go to Google to search, you put in whatever you want to search for, and then you can go a little bit further to tools or whatever it is and go and say past hour, click, to give you the latest. I don't want the information that was given 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. I want the information in the last few minutes. Have you noticed that? Wow, we want everything up to date right now and everything. And what do we do with that? See, but that's the culture that's surrounding us. We think we need to have all the information. We need to have everything. We need to have all the possessions. We need to have all the positions. We need to have all the people around us. Because that's the way you have success in this life, in this world. And that creates a lot of tension, especially for us Christians, because we know that really and truly, that goes a lot against the grain of Christ Jesus. Behind all of this, of course, there's the powers of darkness and our adversary, the devil, who is trying to prowl out there to get us away from a relationship with Jesus and conform to the things of this world and conform to the ways of the culture that we live in. A writer, which you're gonna see this when you read in your book and your chapters on, but Os Guinness, he's a writer. He wrote a lot about culture and how Christians are affected. And just want to give you a little glimpse of some of the things that he has said. But he thinks that the combination of capitalism, technology, and all the communications that we have simply just unleashed a civilization that is powerful. Yeah, but yet very powerful that even can destroy itself. And it comes against the church. We're talking about the world. But let's look at some of these things that he mentions, and then we'll go on and get into our Bible passage here in a little bit. But I want you to put on your seatbelt because this is going to get really bumpy. Number one, we want information, right? We said we want the 411, baby. Give it to me. We want all the information we can get because we're like that. We want to learn, but we don't do much with that learning that we do sometimes. We don't use it to develop our heart and our spiritual lives. It doesn't matter how much information you accumulate if you don't use it to grow in Christ. Number two, convenience. You see, then it becomes convenient. I want the information that's convenient to me. If not, I'm not interested. I'm only wanting what I'm interested in. I don't care about anything else. I just want whatever I'm interested in. Number three, we're talking about options. We have so many options nowadays, right? You know that a kid, you can only give him two options if you want to give him options. If not, a teenager, you can give him two options. You can't give him more than two. You still confuse them. Anyway, even adults, you give them more than two and they may get confused, right? But it's difficult. But we have so many options nowadays, we don't know what to do. You see, what do we do with our possessions? What do we do with our money? What do we do with our lives? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We're just so many options. Number four, time maximization. See, we want to take advantage of every minute, every time. And you know what? The Bible says to be careful in redeeming your time wisely. The Apostle Paul says, redeem your time wisely. And we're like, oh, yeah, I'm redeeming it. All right, I'm using it all for whatever I want to do. And things like that. And we just don't want to miss a single second. That's why we're so anxious and overburdened. Because we just want to maximize everything. We get overloaded. Number four, comfort. You see, I want to be comfortable. You see, if it doesn't make me comfortable, I don't want to be there. A lot of times I hear people who are looking for a church. Well, we're seeking a church to worship in. And what they're really looking is for a place where they feel comfortable, where they can sit down, do their Sunday thing, go home, nobody bother me. Nobody call me. Don't ask me for no commitment. Don't ask me for nothing. I've already been there on Sunday. I already did my duties. I'm comfortable like this. Think about that. What kind of Christians what kind of Christianity we're living? Well, we're not committed to serve and to do, but we're only committed to be comfortable. If something is said, if something is done, or something happens in church that I don't like, I won't show up on Sunday. I'll take a Sunday off. I got to take a break from those people. Really? Tell me how you're going to take a break from me when you get to heaven.
You can't.
All right? I can't take a break from you either. So let's comfort ourselves together, okay? So you see, this is what happens. I have to feel good. If I don't feel good, then it's no good. We get that feeling that whatever we feel is right, that's what's right. Oh my God, let me shut up. Number six, happiness. You see, we're just driven by happiness. You know, be free, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Woo. You know, some of y'all don't remember that because you're not old enough, right? But then we're driven by the pursuit of happiness. It's even in our one of our most precious documents in the whole wide world, right? Anyway, independence. Remember what I talked to you about last week? And I said, as Christians, sometimes we just are driven by the culture that tells us, go and get it. Have your way. Do it. You're the man. You can do this. You're the best you can be. Be the best you can be. Whatever it is, but you, individual, independence, do your own thing. You see, we don't want to be dependent on anything or on anybody because we want to manage our own lives. But that is totally contrary, once again, to what Jesus Christ is teaching us. Oh my goodness. Entertainment. What about entertainment? You see, if I don't guard myself, my man, I tell you what, I can spend 6 or 7 hours watching the same show over and over that I've seen. You know, like Law and Order. I love the Law and Order shows and stuff. I can watch 6 to 7 hours of those. If I don't watch myself, I'll be like. And I'm entertained. And 6 hours later, I'm like, oh, homework. Sermon for Sunday. You see? I gotta watch myself. That doesn't happen to you. You see, if not, I'm not interested. If it doesn't entertain me, what about instant gratification? You know what I mean? I want it now. All right. What about the next one? Skepticism. You see, we just don't. You see, I'm a Christian. I believe in all that, and I know, Pastor, that the Bible says this, but I kind of feel like something. You know, the Spirit's telling me something. Yeah, really? But when you put a but after the scripture, you're wrong for that, okay? Simply wrong. You can't put a but after. You say, well, the scripture says but. That but doesn't fit. Never, ever, ever. The word of God. Oh, my goodness. Image and style. Have you thought about that lately? My goodness, everybody's just thinking about how they can fix themselves and anyway, let's go. Control. 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 You know, we got to have control. Everything is about me. If I'm not in control of the universe, then something's wrong. Because I have my own universe. I have to be in control. And if I'm not, then something is going to go wrong. You see all of those 14 things that I just gave you? Do you think that any of those 14 things really isn't? That I just gave you are really not happening or doesn't affect people. Wow, that's a lot of stuff, you see, because of the individualism and we want to be independent and whatever. We just go the wrong way. So what is it that I want? What is it that I prefer? What is it that I think? What is it that I want? Follow your heart. Yeah, and get lost. You know that's what the Bible says? Follow your heart and you'll get lost. Because the heart is the most what? Deceiving thing in this universe. So whenever somebody out there says, just follow your heart, just remember to tell them, no, you're going to get lost. Don't follow your heart. All right? But you see, when we look at churches here in the United States, with all of these things that make it to where we are comfortable, we want what we want, we get what we want, we do what we want, we have control, there's no pressure, there's no nothing. The kind of churches that we find in America are churches who are maybe large in numbers, but yet a little distorted in their thinking and in their beliefs because of the culture and everything else. Now, when you go to third world countries and you see churches, most likely they might not be dealing with all these pressures. They deal with other pressures like, where am I going to eat today? What are my children going to eat tomorrow? Because I gave them what I was supposed to eat today, gave it to them. You know, what are we going to do tomorrow? Things like that. Then all of a sudden, you see that the pressure is different, my friend. The pressure is not so much about choices, but oh my goodness, not a choice around here. And we have been hit by all of this commodities and comfort and choices and everything. And we think that that is great. And let me tell you, I do believe. When we think, oh man, we live in the greatest country in the whole wide world. Yeah, because it's comfortable and nice and everything I want, it's right there for grabs. If you were living in a country where things were not like that, you may not be saying that. So, you see, and sometimes we don't think about that. And the church, it's in decadence. The church is actually declining in the United States. The church is not growing. It's not thriving. It's not wowing the world. The world is wowing the church, is what's happening. That's not good. So that's our problem. It's in our culture, all the things that we let. And this is what, once again, one of the verses that I quote and quote and quote, you know, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, when Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So we have a crisis. We have to face this. But this you cannot face, you know, on your own. You got to face it as a church, but yet you got to face it in your own life. That's why you have to have a rule of life. And how are you going to control? You need to know that you have to have a plan, because if not, the world will plan your life for you. See, when we turn our eyes onto God, God will turn his face onto us, the Bible says. See, when we extend our hands up to the heavens, he will extend his blessing upon us. That's the way God works. And we've talked about so many things that we can do. We talked about the daily office. We talked about scripture. We talked about the Sabbath. How many of you are starting to think of ways that you can rest and take time to spend with God? Well, start thinking about that. That's awesome. Yes, please. And I'm going to give you an idea today that might blow your mind about the Sabbath, okay? You're going to be like, what? I didn't know I could do that. Yeah, watch this. Not later, okay? I got to keep you there on the edge. So, you see, we got to have an intentional plan to follow Jesus. You see, we just can't be, well, whatever happens in the way, you know, whatever happens on the way. I'll spend time with God. I'll go to church. I'll read the Bible. But what is your purpose then? Have you defined your purpose? Let me tell you, every Christian should know or at least have a purpose of saying, you know what? I am here. I go to church. I am here. I read the scripture. I am here. I pray. I am here because of the grace of God, because he's been so good to me. But I don't. Okay, that's it, Pastor. What else? What is your purpose? What do you think is it that God wants to do with you? What do you think God wants to do through you? So that's what we're talking about. It's a structure in which we have to think, what are we going to do? And we got to put a structure to it, because if not, it won't happen. Now, I'm going to give you an example that's in your book also as you read. And it's the trellis, okay, from the Greek, the trellis, which is where you put this little structure, right? And you do that so that the vine doesn't fall over all over the place, right? But it actually intertwines through there, and it gives it structure. It gives it something to hang on to and be able to be fruitful. So that's what we're talking about when we want to have a rule of life, is we want to have a structure in our lives in which all of the things that we do, like going to church, praying, and spending time with God, and spending time with the fellowship of the believers, and serving the Lord Jesus, all of that is in or on the structure that you have. So that's what we're talking about. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. You are the branches. You see, we need a structure. We need to know who we are in Christ, and we need to have something to hang on to. We need to hang on to Jesus, first of all, you know, in order to be fruitful, of course. But I want you to think of this, and because there are so many things that if you don't have a structure, the world will come at you, and it will structure your life for you. The world simply will do that, reorganize your life. And for many, many for hundreds of years, for maybe thousands of years, ever since Christianity, you know, people were trying to get away from the pressures of the world. And once again, it happened when persecution came and the Christians had to flee, had to go away. Sometimes the culture was so bad. You think we're living in bad times. Yes, we are. And it gets worse, the Bible says. But yet, they were living in bad times too. You know, they were in cities where prostitution ran rampant. And there was a lot of things going on. And some of the Christians decided, you know what? We can't live in this society. We can't hang on to this. We just leave. And they go become monks and stuff like that. They went to the deserts. But when they were out there, they discovered that even at there, they were going crazy because they were thinking some of the crazy things that they were living in their communities out there in the society. But once they started building communities out there and everything, some great things also happened. You see, you'll read in your book also that about the year 300, there was a man called Pachomius. Whatever his name was, he started gathering all of those people who had left, because people started becoming hermits and going out there and saying, you know, I got to get away from this. And what is a Christian doing hiding in a cave? What is a Christian doing all there by himself? Why are Christians supposed to flee the world and go somewhere else and hide from everyone else? That's not what God called us to do. But something good came out of that, because this man, what he did is he started putting the hermits together. He started calling them and making small communities and small groups here and there, until finally they were able to do some good to society, and they got a structure, and they started living differently. They were spending time with God and doing the right thing. They were getting the rest that they needed. They started doing the work that they were supposed to do. But you see, this is what we have to think about. And what are we going to do? How are we going to put structure in our lives in order to do that? Well, what I want you to do is go home and pack your bags and go out to the desert. Right? There is none around here, so don't worry about it. We're not sending you there. But at least, you know, pack your mind, pack your heart, and go somewhere alone with God. Get with God. Go alone at it. Get away from all these entertainments and pressures and all that stuff, and you'll find that there are riches out there. Now, let's see what happened to the church at the beginning. That was just the introduction. Ha-ha. They were devoted to. What were they devoted to? Let's look at Acts chapter 2, and let's read, starting in verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Did you notice the word? In verse 42, they were continually devoting. That's a strong word. All right, verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all of those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now watch this in chapter 3 in verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Just want to stop there. I don't want to read anything else. But I want you to think about it. This whole movement that was going on with the apostles. You see, you have all these people that were added, 3,000 people at once. There was only 120 praying on that day. And when Peter preached, they went out there and 3,000 people got saved. Amen. Now, you think about this. They were dedicated. They were devoted. I want you to notice that word, because that's very important. You see, look at the structure and how it works. Look at the structure, okay? So fear came about all people. And many signs and wonders, it says, were happening through the apostles. So we can see that You see, first of all, they were all devoted. That's the first thing. You need to be devoted. But devoted to what? I'm going to give you four things they were devoted to real quick. Number one, they were devoted to the teachings of the apostles. The teachings of the apostles. That was an important part of their rule of life. That was their structure. You see that? They had to have teaching from the apostles. Now remember, they didn't have the Bible like you have it today. Man, we're such an advantage from them. We have everything written down right here. It's all here. God has given it to us. And this is learning from the Word of God. And I mean learning, not just hearing it, but memorizing and using it and studying it, Old and New Testament. We all need to be learners of the Word of God. So we need to be hungry for instruction. Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 35 years, for 15 years, or for 2 months, or one day. We all need, and we all start as spiritual babies, and we need to continue learning and growing. Okay? Now, we're not, so that's what I want you to know, that Christians are not anti-intellectual. We're never going to be like that. We need to be learners, but we need to be learners who apply the word. Number two, fellowship. Fellowship. That means sharing. You mean being together. Together, the fellowship. We need to be in communion with one another and with God, to share with one another. You see, accepting Christ, it's an individual thing. It's a private thing. It's a personal thing. But then after that, you become part of a family. A lot of people don't understand. You may have your family at home, your blood relatives, but guess what? The blood of Christ makes us relatives. Makes us a family. And you need to value that. You need to take that into consideration in everything that you do and say, you know what? A lot of times, and let me tell you, you can tell when somebody's sold out for the church because everything in their lives revolves around the schedule of the church. And you may think, what? You mean that I got to reschedule all my life according to the schedule of the church? I'm not saying you have to necessarily do that to the T, but you know what? Take into consideration that church should be priority in your life, because church is not a building. It's a family, and you're part of it. And you need to be taking that into consideration with all of your decisions in life. Amen? I didn't hear no amens, but that's okay. I think you believe that. You see, we're part of a new family. We're together. It's different. We're a community by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we need to leave some of these destructive patterns of sin that we've talked about this. When we were talking about genograms, and we saw the one about Joseph, right? And we saw Abraham. Remember that when we saw that? I don't know if you've done that for yourself or if you've gone back. Go back two generations in your family, just two. And start looking at the patterns of illnesses. Start looking at the patterns of addictions. Start looking at the patterns of emotional disturbances. Start looking at patterns in your family and think, oh my God, no wonder I'm so messed up. Find out. It's good to know. And we're trying to, we're not going back there so that we can be like, oh my God, I'm so messed up, I'm no good. No, the reason is so that we can know what we need to leave behind, right? So those are the kind of things that we're talking about. But you need to be in fellowship. You can't do that alone. Number three, breaking of bread. Breaking of bread. You see, it's not just about being here in church. Let me tell you something. Here is referring actually to the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to tell you something. I get really sad when I don't see every Christian at the Lord's Supper. We only do it once a month. I know churches that do it every Sunday. And some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, if you do it after the service, we'd all be here. We don't have to worry about coming back in the evening. Oh, my God. Is it so uncomfortable to come once a month and share in the table with the bread and the fruit of the vine? And meditate upon Jesus Christ and what he did for you and me, which is an ordinance. I'll just leave it at that for now. But you see, a time of fellowship and going in humility before Christ and thinking what about what he'd done, confessing and understanding. We do it once a month. You ought to come. It's beautiful. Number four, prayer. Of course, we talked about this throughout the whole campaign. See, prayer, 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 prayer. And we can think of prayer in different ways. We can think of prayer as being in solitude with God. We can think of prayer as corporate prayer, getting together and praying. We can think of prayer of simply just reading scripture and psalms out loud and worshiping God. We can think of prayer so many ways. And let me tell you, how many of you like when you're going to pray, you like to get away and have nobody around you? Okay, I'll give you an opportunity to do that. And it's a great time. Sundays at 6 a.m., this church is open every Sunday at 6 a.m. for prayer. You can come. You can spend time quietly. No one will bother you. And if anybody does, you let me know. We'll turn the radio off. You can have a time like that. Right here, we've provided a place. You think about that. You see, isn't that what Peter and John were going to be doing in chapter 3 at the beginning? They were going to go pray at the ninth hour. You know what? When it tells me at the ninth hour, that means that that was an hour of prayer. That means that that was a time when it was specifically for prayer. And there was different times of day to pray that was pretty much required from everyone. And we need to be more intentional about that. They weren't just casually visiting the church. They weren't just showing up on Sunday. They were going up to the temple to pray. To pray, just to pray. Well, I can pray at home, Pastor. Well, go ahead, but please pray. Amen. That's what we need to do. You know, we need to take this seriously. We need to be doing the right thing. See, it was not about being comfortable. It was about going out there and doing what needed to be done to get the work done in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of people take Christianity as if it was fire insurance. I just don't want to burn in hell. You know, being a Christian is not just fire insurance. It's a life. It's life. It should be simply your life. So think about that. See, our way of life should be so different from that of the world. So, so different. Psalm 27 in verse 4, David says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, and one thing I will seek." What? "That I shall, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." We sing that around here, right? "Better is one day in your courts." Right? We sing it around here. It's from Psalm 27. That's what I need to be seeking and doing. I need to start just simply quitting on so many things in life that really do me no good. Live differently. Maybe these four things I should be devoted to and nothing else. And everything else should just be added on. Now, I want to give you something real quick here. And I promise you, we'll get out of here in the next 2 hours. But, you know, as family members, as church members, we all know that there are some things that we need to be abiding by, some things that we need to do. And here's a suggestion of six things that we need to be thinking as we're devoted to prayer and fellowship and the teachings of God and breaking bread together. Then we need to be thinking about these six things. Number one, submit to the oversight and shepherding of the leaders of our church in the area of doctrine, direction, discipline, and discipleship. You know, you ought to be thinking about this. You know what? Some people struggle with this. What do you mean, the leaders and this and that? And people criticize leaders, but you know what? I'll give you an idea. If you're not satisfied with the leadership in the church, you can do something about it. Become a leader yourself. Lead some people to Christ. Take them to your house. Teach them to work. Set them to pray. Teach them to do. Take them out there. Do something. Then you can criticize the leadership. Amen? Does that sound right? You see, you got to submit to someone or somebody. I didn't choose to be up here. I wanted to be down there. And God pulled me out and brought me up here. And you know what? God can bring you from that chair, from that pew, and unstuck you and put you in a place of service and leadership. He can do the same thing for you. He's probably already calling you. We need to answer the call. We need to be submitting. We need to be learning. We need to do it, all of that. All right? So that's one thing we need to do. Number two, we are involved in a small group community or something. A lot of times we don't understand. You see, fellowship, true fellowship and the breaking of bread and everything doesn't happen at its greatest when we're in a large community or in a Sunday. On Sunday, when you get out of here today, you probably talk to five people for 3 minutes each. And you're out of here because you're hungry. Because the pastor done kept you here and you're ready for a brunch. Right? So when you leave here, you can't tell me that that's enough fellowship in your... I'll tell you what. Do this for a week or do this for a month. Your family, dedicate to them each 3 minutes once a week. And tell me how your family is going to be looking like. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about, yeah. So we need to be thinking about how we're going to structure our lives so that we may spend time with one another and do stuff with one another. You know, I feel bad. I feel bad because as a pastor, sometimes some of you, I have not had a conversation in months. You think that's cool and you think I feel happy about that? I don't. That's wrong. It shouldn't be like that. Now, of course, you have to understand, look at how many of you are. All right? So I'm going to ask you, dearly, don't ever be afraid to come this way, say hello, and spend 3 minutes with me, at least. Let's start there, okay? Let's start there. I don't mind. Tiffany comes over. She spends like 5 minutes. I got to be like, yo, your 3 minutes are over, right, Tiff? You know? No, she cool like that. Actually, I want her around me because she's so cool. She is. She knows how much I appreciate her. Man, I'm getting in trouble here. But you know what? We all should learn to appreciate each other and spend time with each other. Some people have said, well, you know what? I never go because he's too busy. Boo-hoo. If I'm too busy for you, then something's wrong with me. Come on over. I mean, let's do something. You see, we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional about everything that we do. We need to be careful out there, but we need to be intentional, okay? Now, let's think about this. Discover and use your spiritual gifts. How many of you know your spiritual gifts? I hope you do. And if you are knowing them, why are you using them or not using them? Think about that. You see, this is our structure, the church, our trellis, right, in which you need to be connected. We need to be learning. We need to be doing stuff, all right? So think about it. Now, number five, what are we on? I don't know. Now think about number four. Serve as appropriate and needed in the family. You see, in the family. You're serving within us and being with us and doing something. You know, if you have kids, trust me, we'd like you to help with the nursery. If you don't have kids and you want to help, we'll take you in too, right? It's a great thing to be helping. That's one way to start growing in Christ and saying, you know what? And you know what? I'm not saying that all of you, because you're a mother or a father, that you're going to be a children's teacher. But that's one way of serving and saying, you know what? Maybe this is not what I'm supposed to do, but I'm doing something. And that's a start. And think about that. You know, we always need people to help out, especially in that area. All right? Number five, give financially, generously, and sacrificially to support the ministry of our church. Yes, I'm telling you, you need to give. And you need to give the way it says right there, generously and sacrificially. You may be saying, oh, here we go, pastor's always asking for money. No, I'm not asking for money. I'm telling you to be obedient to Christ. Amen. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. We all need to be generous. We all need to be givers. If not, we won't be able to do the work. Number six, consistently take one step in developing your own personal rule of life. Consistently, you need to be thinking about, okay, how do I improve my living? How do I improve my Christian life? What am I supposed to do to get better? In what area I need to change? What do I need to do? What do I need to focus on? See, God made you different. I can't be focusing on you. You focusing on me. You need to focus on your own, but you focus on your own changes. Problem is, we're so focused on seeing everybody else change that we forget that we need to change too. But let's think about some of those things. I'm going to give you a list of 12 things that you can use to check yourself and to think about which ones of these are you going to be changing in, and maybe one at a time. They don't have to be all at once, okay? But I want to give you this suggestion, the list. It's in your book, but also take it as your own inventory and to think what you can do, all right? So In what areas do you need to be developed? Or what areas do you need to develop your Christian life and your relationship with Jesus? Let's think about some of these. All right? Maybe it is scripture. Let's talk about the aspect of prayer. Let's talk about, we're going to divide this into four categories. One category is prayer. Scripture, silence and solitude, daily office and study. Think about which one of those four. Maybe you need to, amp it up. Maybe you need to do something about it. All right? So you need to think. Maybe scripture. Maybe it is about reading. Maybe memorizing. I'm telling you, memorizing scripture, right? I had my midterm test this week, and I had to recite Philippians chapter 1 and chapter 2, 60 verses, to Dr. Steele, and she was looking at me like, okay, David, go ahead. And I started doing it, and when I got to probably like verse 15 or so of the first chapter, I went, and she just looked at me and went, but da 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 da, and I kept going, and I got so happy, and honestly, when I got about halfway through chapter 2, it started getting a little muddy, right? And before I got to the end, I had like 6 verses left, all right, of the 60. I'm almost at the end, and I drew a blank, complete blank. And she's like, okay, if I help you, you think you can finish it all the way through? And I said, I'll tell you what, if you help me, I'll probably do 3 more verses. But I promise you, the last 3 verses, I do not know at all. And she's like, okay, let's try that. And of course, she helped me a little bit, and I did the 3 verses. And when we got to the last 3, she said, okay. And I said, no, okay, you help me because I don't know them at all. And she started saying them, and I'm like, blah, 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 trying to repeat what she was saying, right? And I got done, and she's like, you did good. It was only the last 3 verses. But oh my God, this has been an experience. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because memorizing those 2 chapters has not been a simple assignment. It's been difficult. But what's made it even more difficult is that I have to write a journal for every 4 verses of my own reflection of those 4 verses. That's 15 journals that I've done reflecting on my own life on every 4 verses. That's what's made a difference. And trust me, it hurts. So you could do whatever you want. You can read the Psalms. That's one of the things that I've been planning on doing. And I said, you know what? The Psalms are 150. I can read one a day. That's 150 days. That's half a year, 6 months. I could do that. But then Psalm 119 is very long. So maybe I could do a few extra days on that. It's still not even 7 months. Or I'll give you another idea. Reading the Proverbs. I've done this. I did this for about 6 months. Read the Proverbs. One chapter a day. It's 31 chapters. You can't miss it. Once a month, you'll finish the whole book and read it again. And you'll finish the whole book and read it again. You could do creative things like that to help you with scripture reading. Oh, looking and seeking God in solitude and silence. I told you, we give you time. You see, maybe all it requires is for you to start with 5 minutes or 10 minutes. But, do it. That's what you need to do. And, of course, your daily office, every day doing that and studying the Word. Maybe you need to take a course. Maybe you need to do something. All right? How about rest? Sabbath. Oh, my God. The rhythm of Sabbath. How do I get some rest? I'm going to give you the greatest idea on the planet today, right now. This is what you've been waiting for since the beginning of the sermon. So get ready to be blown. 24 hours of rest. Sabbath. Onto God. You can start Saturday evening and finish it up Sunday evening. Mind blowing. You've probably been, since we did the Sabbath thing, you've probably been thinking, how can I take a whole day off? How can I do 24 hours? Without, I can't do that. I work 6 days a week. Blah, 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 blah. And you come up with 20,000 excuses. What do you think about that? Whoa. That was not my idea, by the way. I got to give credit to where credit's due. I don't know where it's from. Anyway, but think about it, the Sabbath. Simplicity. Simplicity. What does simplicity mean? It means, getting your financial life in order, getting your life in order to think about, hey, do I really need all of this that I want, and I've been in debt because I wanted it? Think about all that stuff. Am I giving God what He is supposed, what I'm supposed to be giving? These are just suggestions, okay? Play and recreation. Yes, you can play. Yes, you can entertain yourself. Yes, you should. Take a break. Go do something. You know, whatever it is that, whatever it is. But you can do that. Maybe you can think about climbing a mountain. There's none around here anyway. Maybe you think of going to the beach. You can't go there either unless you drive like 3 hours anyway. So whatever it is, listen to some music, sit down, chill out, do some gardening, whatever it is, okay? Activity. Let's talk about the next one, activity. Service and mission. You know, you may be thinking, okay, what can I do then to serve God, to do something, to use my talents and gifts? Maybe that's one of the areas that you need to improve. Caring for your physical body. Hello? I know I need to do that. I'm the first one to be yelling out here. I need to do that. But let me tell you something. Taking care of yourself physically, let me tell you, and it's not just for little bigger people like me, you know, it's for everyone. Because some of you may not have all this weight, awesome, beautiful weight that I have, but maybe you're sleep deprived. Huh, gotcha. Some of you thinking, huh, what are you talking about? Maybe you don't have problems with exercise. Maybe you do exercise, but you don't sleep well. Maybe there's other things in your life that are affecting you, your body. Maybe you simply, you know, you don't rest well. You got to get your life, working. And the activity and nutrition. Maybe you don't eat well. You're like, well, I exercise and I sleep well, but I just don't eat right. So think about it. Anyway, all right, so care of your physical bodies. How about relationships? Here we go. We think about emotional health, family, community. You have to think about all these things. We have to connect with others, but we have to look at ourselves and see what's going on in our lives. We have to check ourselves all the time. You see, maybe you need help. Maybe you need to grow because you saw yourself and you didn't know, but now you know that you maybe need to grow in your emotional life to become mature as an adult. And you know what? Maybe we can start some groups in church. I've discovered this. We did an anger group about 6 months ago or so in the church. I did an anger group in Spanish. And little did I know, everybody wanted to sign up. Everybody was so angry because they couldn't sign up. Yeah, because I can only take 12 people, and that was pushing the limit. And I had 13 sign up, and they were all angry because they wanted more people in the group. And I said, no, that's enough. And we got angry in the group, and we cried, and we laughed, and people got angry, for reals. It was good. But then after, it was only 6 weeks because we were time limited. After 6 weeks, people were like, that's it? Oh, my God, I love this. Maybe you need to be in an anger group, you know. Maybe you need to be in a, you know, recovery group for something in your life. Divorce, drugs, pornography, alcohol. Maybe it's grief, finances, your marriage, whatever it is. Well, then maybe we can start some of the groups like that in church that can help out and get you emotionally healthy and things of that nature, right? Now, how about family, of course? We need to take care of our families. And remember what we talked about. We talk about, maybe you need to improve because you're looking at your family. You need to look in your past and say, some of these things need to go. Or maybe it is your present family that you need to work in. Okay? You see, once again, the family of the church also. Maybe you need to get better at that, relating to one another. 3 minutes a week is not enough to be active, healthy, vital in this community. Okay? Remember that. We need to do something about it. And I want to... Maybe you think, you know what, Pastor, that's a lot of stuff to work in. Take one at a time. Take one at a time. Maybe you checked off 5. Maybe you checked off 12 out of 12 or 2 out of 12. Take them one at a time. Be careful. Now, I want to tell you something. Matthew chapter 11, I think it is, verse 29. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and all you who are tired, burdened, and I will give you rest. Now watch this. Take my yoke and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now check this out. This is the one. Because my yoke is easy, and the burden is light. You know what? If you're trying to do something for God and it becomes too much of a burden and it's difficult, maybe that's not what God wants you to do. Because his yoke is easy. I want you to understand that. I know that you're going to go through suffering. I know we all go through suffering. But simply that, we need to understand that we can do this. You just have to pick whatever it is and one step at a time. And God will help you. And if you need rest right now, and if you need to get the load off of your shoulders, maybe you're carrying too much weight emotionally and spiritually, he will give you the rest. And you can structure yourself to live in the rest of God.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.